From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
World titles are a good way to bookend a decade, and Dave Felberg did just that this week with his first Masters World Championship 10 years, almost to the date, after his lone Open World title. We're going to talk about that quite a bit today on PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined, as always, by Sarah Lamberson. Sarah, we've got a good show going on today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's, gosh, it's almost the end of summer proper, but fall is going to be exciting. We have a lot of great events coming up. We are going to take a look at Masters Worlds a bit more. We're going to talk European Championships. We're going to be joined by the winner of that, Simon Lazat, who's also going to talk about the MVP Open, which is coming up this weekend, formerly the Maple Hill Open or the Vibram Open or whatever Open. It's at Maple Hill.
Yeah,
and it's open. That is coming up this week on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. And then, man, we're just kickstarting. Before we know it, World Championships are going to be here. But Sarah, before that, happy ratings update day to you.
Thank you.
And especially congratulations on cracking the old 900 mark today.
Yeah, I kind of, not to feel greedy, not to be greedy, but I wish I had just gotten like 901.
No, it's a round number. It's nice.
I hate round numbers, though. But no, now the challenge is I've reached the 900 mark and I need to stay there. So I've now my goal is 919 because I hate round numbers. So
okay, all right, nice. Well, congratulations to you and everyone else whose ratings went up. And I wanted to just take a look at some of the, you know, top pro ratings and what's happening. After being tied again for a while, Paul McBeth is back on top at 1048, 1 point over Riki Wasaki at 1047. But the biggest thing that I noticed, Eagle McMahon is up to 1045 now. I don't know exactly what he started the year at. I'm going to look that up while we talk.
Yeah, how big was that jump?
It's, well, he was in the 1040s at the last update, I believe. But I'm more thinking back to the beginning of the year. And then that's just, that's crazy to me looking at that and then thinking about where he was this time last year, which we're going to talk a little bit more about when we get to the MVP Open.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Eagle McMahon's ratings history. He was at 1043. December of 2017, he was at 1031. He started out the year at 1035, proper season. So he's gone up 10 points this season. Pretty stinking good. And then over on the women's side, the thing that really jumped out to me, Paige Bierkus started out at 915 in April. She's been doing the touring a lot this summer. Actually is going to be, I just read recently that she is going to skip the first semester of school this year.
Whoa, that's a huge choice.
Yeah, and cool. She's at 938 now. So
so I just saw on the Book of Faces that her dad, Doug Bierkus, posted a picture side-by-side of their two pages on PDGA, and they're now rated the same.
That's
and
amazing.
And he was like, yeah, he's like, I knew the day would come, and here it is.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And I'm curious to see how long it takes Paige to up that over. That's got to be, like, I know if my daughter had the same rating as me, she would probably be mad. She would want it to be higher. So,
wow.
I'm, oh, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. She's competitive. I'm betting Paige and Doug got a little friendly bet going on the side.
Yeah.
And then, Sarah, something that we did miss last time, and I meant to correct this on a previous show and I forgot, so I apologize, but after we talked last time on ratings updates, we were going over the top five rated women in the world. We only had it sorted to pro women, and I got a message later that day from one Paul McBeth, who is the top rated man in the world, and he's like, no, this is the fifth highest rated woman in the world, and it's Kelsey Brakel.
I love that he corrected you.
He totally corrected me. She's at 952. She is actually the fifth highest rated woman in the world. She just plays AM. We talked about her around USA PGC earlier this year. So mea culpa, and congrats to Kelsey for hanging on to that fifth spot. Also mea culpa to anyone who listened to this show last week when I had a serious case of the throat clears with Nate Sexton, which was also accompanied by a serious case of forgetting to hit the mute button. Like, such a rookie move. So I apologize to anyone who listened last week. I didn't catch it till after we published that I was clearing my throat all up in your ears. My bad. I will try and be.
Don't do it again.
I'll try not to. Anyway, let's check out Masters World, Sarah. Big weekend out, or week really, full week in Kansas City. You know, splitting the Kansas and Missouri state line with four courses, and Dave Fellberg takes his first Masters World title, averaging 10.37 and a half golf, just about 10 years after his first open world title in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So congrats to Dave Fellberg. It was fairly comfortable. I want to say he won by three or four. Kind of waltzed it in up at Waterworks, which really I shouldn't say waltzed it in. He had to probably hike pretty much because there's a lot of elevation at that place. Sarah, what were you hearing about Masters Worlds and anything in the, you know, the main MP40 division?
Yeah, well, I feel bad that I don't think either one of us picked him to win. I know
he
I got Barry Schultz.
I picked Joe Revere. I went ratings, but I mean, Fellberg definitely.
Yeah.
We should have.
And Joe Revere shot really well too. He had like a 10.68.
Yeah, I think
anyway,
came in like seventh or something overall.
Yeah, tied for seventh. Yeah, I mean, I think there was a pretty tough battle going on at the top between Dave Fellberg, Johnny McRae, Barry Schultz, Mike Mosier. He was one of the first pros that I ever played with 10 years ago.
Yeah, he actually snuck into
Delaware.
The final nine, I believe. Ousted Schwebe to get into the final nine.
I saw that he was injured, but I didn't know what his injury was. Do you know?
No, I don't have any.
Okay, so
on that, sorry.
So he had an injury, and I'm sure
he Schwebe?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
He posted a video, but I wasn't. I think I was flying when I saw the video pop up, and I wasn't able to watch it. But if you're listening, I hope whatever it is feels better, and you can get back out there quickly. But I think he had kind of a little bit of a roller coaster there that last round. He shot 972. So
yeah, and really his he had shot 1058, 1052 earlier in the week.
Yeah. Other than that, rounding out the top 10, Eric Eastwood, Shasta Chris. He's been playing really well too. It looks like he just had a couple low rated rounds, but
the tougher rounds for people were at Waterworks, and that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that course is physically demanding.
Mm-hmm.
The weather out there, I heard, was just tremendously hot and humid, as you would expect from Kansas City. So, I mean, yeah, you look at the lower rounds, and a lot of them came at Waterworks. Not surprising.
Yeah. Christian, we mentioned Joe Revere, Christian Bengston, not sure. Yeah, and Eric McCabe. So good to see him there, too. I was actually trying to look up, so 10 years ago when Fellberg won the world title, I was looking up to see what he was rated then. I don't know. Can we do that retroactively?
I mean, you should, if it just goes in. I believe it shows what his rating was at the time on his page for his 2008 world title. Let's find out, because I'm about to click on it.
Okay.
He also came in second.
Oh, here we go.
Mixed doubles that year. And it looks like at the time his rating was 1039.
1039.
Dang.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the question. Dave Fellberg currently rated, what, 1021?
Yeah, I think he just hit 1022 today in the update.
Okay, so played over his rating. Yeah, so that's cool because it shows your rating tied to the event time there.
Mm-hmm.
So 1022... Does that put Dave Fellberg in the conversation for picking up the double? Can he go Masters Worlds and Pro Worlds in the same year? What do you think, Sarah?
I think if we didn't have such a stacked field.
Yeah.
Then
I mean, but look, 1022, let me ask this. 1022 puts him in the range of what, like who's in the 1022 range right now? Like Kevin Jones, AJ Risley, guys like that are around there who have plenty of skills. I mean, I think it could happen, but it's got to take.
He could for sure cash
an effort. Oh
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Was last year the year that he had that ace on that crazy wooded shot uphill?
Fellberg.
Yeah,
that was a couple years back at Maple Hill, I think. Skip ace.
Yeah,
that was a couple years ago. Definitely was not last year.
Okay, well, I'm looking last year. Vibram Open, he plays 42nd.
Oh, I'm talking Worlds though.
I mean, World. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm talking about.
You can't even compare. You can't compare Worlds last year, but he hasn't played Smuggler's Notch, or at least not in any sanctioned tournaments.
Okay.
So no, I was going with the double Worlds. He's actually not even playing Vibram.
I'm in Maple Hill mode right now since we just talked about it a
We'll
bunch,
get there.
but
We'll get there.
I'm so excited.
No.
I don't know. I don't ever want to like write people out. I'm too diplomatic
Look, it would be
about
a great story. Do I
it.
think it's going to happen?
Yeah.
Not likely, but could it? Sure. I mean, he's still, I think basically the point I'm trying to make is Dave Fellberg averaging 10.37 and a half golf over 5 days in Kansas City. That's an achievement given the courses and the conditions out there. So
Yeah.
I certainly don't think he is someone that you can write off. It's just a matter of everything kind of coming together for him. You know, he played well earlier this year. He likes these elevated courses. I believe he played very well at the Toboggan course earlier this year for Great Lakes Open. He came in fifth there. So, you know, I think he could certainly do it. And like you look at his, it's just a, you know, his placements in Open this year have actually been pretty good. Fifth at Jonesboro, okay, 39th at Utah. I don't think these courses at Smuggler's Notch really compare. I wish
Yeah.
we had some history for him at the Green Mountain Championship to look up and really compare. But anyway, would be a great story. So we'll see how he does out there at Pro Worlds. We should probably shift a little bit to the FP40
Yeah.
division and really a boatload of other divisions. Really, the biggest story besides Dave Fellberg winning were there were a lot of playoffs.
Definitely. Yeah. So there was a playoff in the FP40 division. Courtney McCoy was coming into the event, was kind of the clear winner, although I think Kimberly is it Gianola or Ginola?
Gianola, I believe.
Ginola. Okay. I believe she is local. So she's probably
Yes.
been practicing these courses a lot. But Courtney McCoy is rated over 50 points more than her, more than
Right,
Kimberly.
right.
So going in, just sorting by ratings, which ratings aren't all that matters.
But they are quite
So
important in terms of
yeah.
being able to forecast things.
Exactly.
But yeah, she was a top rated, Courtney McCoy was a top rated player.
Yep. So Kimberly had some amazing rounds, everything over her rating, including a 941, which to her
For her
870 rating is
870, that's
pretty
quite high.
darn good. Yeah. And they ended up in a tie. Courtney was in a 4-shot deficit going into the finals, and she made that up and they ended up tying. And I believe how long was their playoff?
Just one, I believe it was just one hole.
Okay, yeah. And Kimberly ended up ousting Courtney and got the win, which is pretty sweet on her, in her home course, her hometown. So
Yeah.
congratulations to her.
I think there was a big battle in at MP60 as well. Six-hole
Oh,
playoff
for sure. I know.
between Kenny Lee and Rick Vokes. Rick Vokes was going for his 10th world title, which would
Oh,
have been amazing,
yeah.
but Kenny Lee was able to get the job done. So, I mean, six-hole playoff after playing Waterworks in the heat just sounds grueling. So, congrats to Kenny Lee. Congrats to all of the other Masters World Champions, which also includes Patrick Brown
Yep.
taking a 12, no, yes, 12-shot win in Pro Masters 50 plus. Tavish Cardiff took the Pro Masters Women 50 plus. We talked about Kenny Lee. John Graff won in Pro Masters 70. And Pete May took his fourth world title in Pro Masters 75 plus. So congrats to everyone, and thank you for enduring a long week in Kansas City, because man, I was not terribly I love Kansas City. The disc golf there is great. Hate the weather. So this time of year. So I was
Yeah.
not terribly disappointed to not be there. So congrats to everyone who was able to endure, including our staff who was there, because they were
Yeah.
all busting it this week. So Sarah, let's transition a little bit then. We go from the Masters World Championships. We are going to hop over the pond to Europe and talk about the European Championships over in Croatia. First time they were held in Croatia. 27 countries were represented there. Pretty neat. And highest rated player in the tournament, not surprisingly, comes out with the win. Simon Lazat took a 5-shot win over there. So congrats to Simon. We're actually going to chat with him on the show in just a little bit. But really strong performance from him. You know, everything I read some articles and saw some things on Facebook that he was just really motivated going into that one this year, wanted to get his European title back. He'd won it in 2012. So he went in, and I think that just shows that when Simon Lazat is on a mission, he is a difficult man to be reckoned with. 1046, 1063, 1055, and then a 1026 final round. He had room to play in the final round, so I would imagine he wasn't going full bore.
Yeah.
Sepapayu came in second. Vaino Mäkelä, almost 20-year-old. I think he's turning 20 next month, from Finland. Dude, this kid can smash. He can play. I mean, his two middle rounds were 1054 and 1055. He came in fourth at the Alley Open, third at Finnish Nationals, first on the Prodigy Disc Pro Tour in Turku. He's definitely a name to look out for coming out of the Finnish scene. And then, gosh, besides Simon, big performance over on the FPO side. Sarah, did you have a chance to check out those scores and ratings?
I did. So I saw that. So first of all, Henna Blommers, congratulations. She was first over Evelina Salonen, and we've talked on the show before about the competition between those two. They're good friends.
We talk on the show about starting a GoFundMe to get them both over here touring?
Oh my
gosh,
I would love it. I would love it.
We need that.
All right, you start it.
Pay for their flights or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, get them an RV. They just film a reality show, like the, you know, I don't know. Anyway, they need to, it would be great. But basically, the point I'm trying to make is, man, it would be awesome to see them come over here and go head to head with some of the touring women over here in the States.
Definitely.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's
love
what
to
you're
see.
Saying.
I'd love to see how they stack up. But so Henna got Evelina by three strokes. So Henna shot eight down, which is awesome. You always want to shoot in the red.
Right.
And Evelina shot five down. But here are Henna's round ratings: 958, 1024, 946, and 966.
That's pretty good.
Like that's the hottest female round we have seen so far.
All year, I would think, right?
Oh yeah. I think
it was the highest rated round ever by a European women's player, and for a course in that SSA, which I did some rough calculations. I don't know the exact SSA, but I think it falls into that 54 to 59.9 category.
Mm-hmm.
It was tied for ninth best all time with Katrina Allen's 2014 showing at the Gentlemen's Club Challenge at Sunset Park. So pretty good little accolade for Henna Blommers to put in her back pocket there while she's still a teenager. Pretty sweet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's amazing. And she's currently, so then she was 944. Oh, so she just popped up to 952.
Yep.
Rated. And Evelina is Evelina's actually 2 points above her at 954.
They've been kind of lobbing back and forth because I think right around Konopiste Day, Henna was the highest rated women's player in Finland, and they kind of go back and forth there.
Yeah.
Not to be forgotten, Kristen Tatar from Estonia came in third place. Katka Bodova, lefty from Slovakia, and Eva Kralova from the Czech Republic tied for fourth. So really, really, really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing. I know the Spin TV is supposed to be coming out with some shot by shot coverage of that, which I'm really looking forward to seeing because everything I saw for photos and like Facebook live streaming, the property over there is stunning. Croatia, it looked beautiful. I know very little about Croatia, but I have heard that it's gorgeous. I believe it's on the Baltic Sea, if we're going with geography up there.
Sure.
It's supposed to be very pretty, so I'm looking forward to seeing the video. Sarah, let's take a break, and we will talk to the man who just got back from Croatia, Simon Lazat, and then we will look ahead to the MVP Open coming up right after that. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PGA Radio. Joining the show now is 2018 European Disc Golf Champion, Simon Lazat. Simon, congrats on the big win over the weekend in Croatia.
Yeah, thank you. That sounded way better than I thought it would.
Well, how does it feel, I guess I should say? You know, this is your second one in your career. Does this one feel any different than the first one?
Yes, very, very different. It was two completely different experiences for me since my whole life has changed in the past 6 years. Yeah, I'm sure most people know that what I've been up to in the last 5 years, coming to the States and playing, of course. And yeah, it's been crazy. 2012, I was 19 years old and didn't know what I was doing, really. And somehow I ended up winning European Championships, which kind of kickstarted my whole career. And then in 2014, I lost by a stroke to Seppo. And in 2016, I was injured, so I had to wait 4 years to get redemption. And this tournament was so different for me. It didn't feel like fun at all. It was complete work. Like, I was completely focused on getting that title back because, I don't know, for some reason, that one feels very, really important to me. And it was awesome to get the work done.
So what was something, obviously, you're... the fact that you wanted to get redemption and get another title under your belt, what are the things that went into your preparation for this year?
I mean, June, July were so busy that I couldn't really actually prepare for anything because I was either traveling on a plane or in some kind of vehicle to get to the next place. And mm-hmm. with my tour in Finland, I did, and I was in Norway and then Czech Republic, then Germany, then Sweden. And it was like literally every week something. I think I played like 100 days in a row. It was
wow,
pretty crazy, actually. So I guess playing for 100 days in a row is pretty good preparation when you look at it that way.
For
but
sure.
I didn't really do anything other than basically play every day. And I was just mentally completely ready for it.
Now, you're over in Croatia for this European Championship. Had you played there before? I mean, what do you know about you're pretty dialed in terms of, even though you've been away from Europe a lot, you still know what's going on over there. Do you know anything about the scene in Croatia and what your expectations were going into this one?
Yeah, I mean, disc golf is super young in Croatia. If I had to guess how many courses they have, I would guess less than 5. So it's very, very small, and it's just getting started.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like Czech Republic was a couple of years ago, and Czech Republic is, oh God, I don't know my numbers, but they are booming right now, which is awesome. So yeah, Croatia's really working on it, and it was actually my second time playing there. I played there last November for like a more fun event.
Oh, I recall that, yes.
Yeah, it was the same people organizing it, so I kind of knew that they know what it's about. I knew they would put on a good show. And yeah, it was a pretty special week. We had 27 nations competing, which is, they announced it as like a record in disc golf history. Like
right.
There's
wow.
never been an event with that many countries. And so that was special. That's such a cool idea during the players' party that every nation had to bring like a typical drink and a typical food. So every country had like their own little stand where you could like walk around and try food and drinks. And it was pretty cool players' party.
What did Germany bring?
We had some smoked ham and some very bad liquor, in my opinion.
I've never like met a liquor that's bad.
It was just super strong, and yeah, everyone brought like schnapps or whiskeys and
no,
stuff like
no
that.
No beers? I figured you would have lobbied for beers for Germany.
Did we have beers? I don't know. I was running around from table to table trying everything I could.
What was the best country then for food and drink that you tried there?
I don't know. I thought Iceland brought fermented shark. So that was pretty special. I smelled it and then I became a total chicken and didn't try it.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
I don't like fish at all. I don't eat
gross.
Fish. I'm not allergic or anything, but I don't know. That smell was one of the worst smells I've ever smelled in my life.
So you mentioned about playing for basically 100 days straight. So how's your physical therapy going? How do your injuries feel? Are you bouncing back pretty good?
Yeah, it's been surprisingly easy with all the flying. I mean, these 12-hour flights across the continents is pretty tough, especially for your lower back when you sit that much. But it's been good. I've been doing way more stretching before every round, even just for practice casual rounds. I stretch now like 10 minutes just before it. And even 10 minutes just helps so much. It's just crazy how lazy we get and don't even want to invest 10 minutes in our health. But no, I've been doing it. It works. And I had a little wrist injury during Czech Republic. But it didn't affect my game too much. I was still playing pretty well. But I got good therapy there from a female player that is a physical therapist, and she totally knew what she was doing and could help me perfectly. So
that's awesome.
Ever since, my wrist has been fine. My elbow's doing great. My back's doing great. I actually just came from the chiropractor like an hour ago, and he was pretty pleased with how my back looks after so many weeks of doing, traveling and disc golf.
Yeah.
So now you, the tournament that was going on in the States at the same time as Europe, or at least the week before, we had Ledgestone. Presumably you had to skip Ledgestone to do this one. You know, you've won that event before. I believe it was 2015, right?
Yes.
So was that a tough call for you to make, given that you've been a champion there and there's all the big money, or was it just no brainer? It was only Europe, no matter what.
It wasn't really a tough call at all. Especially, no, not money-wise. Like, thanks to Signature Discs and a bunch of other help, now we don't really have to play for the money anymore, which is a huge relief and makes everything a lot easier, especially mentally. And, so money-wise, it wasn't a tough call. And, I don't know, the European Championship title just is, to me, way more important than maybe an extra $3,000. Like, that's not what it should be about, I think. But I'll be for back sure. Next year. They have Worlds next year, so I'll definitely be back.
They have Worlds next year. You definitely got to come back for that one.
Yep. So looking at the course at Maple Hill, how is it looking this year? Are you preparing pretty well? I think you said you may have a home course advantage. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I came to, the course is in Leicester, which is right next to Worcester, and I live in Shrewsbury now since February.
Mm-hmm.
Shrewsbury is right next to Worcester. It's like a 20-minute drive to Maple Hill, the course. So it's kind of been my number one, of course, go-to course to go practice or just play casual fun rounds. And since it's been snowing here until about April, I didn't have that much fun on that course. But of course, I think I played it probably like a dozen times at least now. And it really feels like this is my home course. I've literally never had, at least in the States, a tournament where I would go and feel like this is familiar, or like I can go home after a round. And I'm really looking forward to that feeling, to like playing a round of a tournament and then going home. Like, I've
that
never
is really
had that
nice.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to feel really good.
Yeah.
And I mean, the course, of course, is one of the greatest courses we have in the country. And the event itself, just all the surroundings and the game room is, of course, something I really look forward to.
What's in the game room? I still have not been up there. I need to make it on my short list.
Oh, it's like a tiny arcade kind of room, like right on the course. It has pool and has skee ball. It has air hockey and darts and shuffleboard.
Awesome.
It's just like the place to hang out after the rounds.
Isn't pool kind of your game? Do I recall correctly that pool is pretty much your jam?
Yeah, like next to shuffleboard and darts and table tennis.
Okay.
Pool is also one of them.
All the things.
All the bar games. I love it.
Yeah.
Now
I spend a lot of time in bars. Yes.
We didn't say it.
Those are important skills to sharpen.
I totally agree.
Hand-eye coordination.
Right.
Probably helps for putting. So obviously we like to ask the really hard-hitting questions here on PDGA Radio. Now I know the reason that you are over in Massachusetts, you've been in a relationship now going on almost about a year, right? You met your girlfriend at around the same time at Maple Hill last year, correct?
Yeah, after the final round of the tournament last year, yes.
Okay, so first of all, happy almost anniversary, I guess. And
thank you.
Secondly, like, I know it may seem like a silly question, but, you know, given like what we were just talking about, like you've spent a lot of time in bars and stuff, does having a relationship now, does it change your preparation during an event or what you're doing pre and post an event? Like, has it changed for you at all in terms of your approach to tournament play?
Nothing immediately comes to mind that changed. No, she has nothing to do with disc golf, and she has to this day never played a round of disc golf.
No way.
Yeah, that is actually true. And,
I mean, kind of hard if she would be going out there with you. I'd be pretty intimidated.
I don't think that's the problem. She's been really busy. She just got her master's degree awesome. 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And yeah, she just came with me from a 3-week trip in Europe. So she was in Croatia as well. And then 2 weeks before that in Germany with me. So yeah, she got to meet my family and got to watch me win European championships. So it's been a pretty cool couple of weeks. And now we just got back last night. We landed in Boston last night and yeah, trying to arrive home. And we're planning to move to Colorado as soon as possible.
Really?
So yeah, it's kind of a bit stressful since we have 2 cats here and 3 fish tanks. And we're trying to plan out how this is going to work, especially because I have like 6 more huge events to go to.
Wow.
You yeah, and her lease is running out soon, so we got to figure it out.
Yeah,
that kind of,
good
that
luck.
Kind of changes the calculus of like, do you feel like, how much does that impact then? Do you feel like that takes away from your mental focus for an event, or can you compartmentalize that stuff pretty well?
It almost doesn't happen. What happens outside of disc golf in my life, when I'm on the course, I can completely focus on my round. There might be a couple things that would get me out of focus, but 99% of everything doesn't.
That's awesome. I wish I could say the same. Are you moving anywhere close to Eagle?
Kind of. I mean, we're going to be, our goal is to end up in Fort Collins.
Okay.
So I think that's like an hour-ish north of Boulder or Denver, whatever it is. But yeah, we don't really have that official plans yet. We're kind of looking at apartments right now. We're looking for like a time window we can go over there and look at stuff. But yeah, we'll figure it out. And of course, living close to Eagle and where the Discmania Motorhome is home at the moment with Colton is also in Longmont, Colorado. So we're kind of going to try to build a little Discmania home base, I guess.
Awesome. So up until this point, last year, you played a similar number of events. How do you avoid the late season burnout? It seems like you've got a pretty good groove going right now, but can you talk a little bit about how you keep it the momentum going through the rest of the year?
Yeah, the huge difference for me this year than any other year I've done is that I have a home base. Like I have spent almost zero time in the motorhome this year. I have not done like these 10, 11, 12 week tours where it's just like this total grind and nonstop. And I've always been flying to the events, renting cars, using hotel rooms, and then after the events, flying back to Boston. And that's made everything so incredibly much easier for me. Like it's, I don't know, for me, it's just really important to have something that feels like arriving and being home after events, or actually also before events. So it's just, that's the big difference. That's the huge difference. And now that I finally got my athlete visa approved, I can stay in the States for 5 years.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it only took me 5 years to get that approved. So wow. It's finally happening. Yeah, it's not easy to get an official athlete visa in America for throwing frisbees, it turns out.
Who'd have thought?
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I finally got like enough recognition and titles and all that kind of stuff they want to see like black on white, so they can say, okay, you're actually important for the sport. Like I needed a letter from the PDGA, I needed a letter from the German disc golf things, I needed a letter from UC, all that stuff, and it just took so long. It's expensive. And yeah, I'm trying to get my home base in Colorado now. It's nice and central. It's a beautiful state. And then things would be even easier.
Very nice. All right, now I know we're a couple weeks away, and you still have Maple Hill to focus on this week, but you've got the European Championship now. Are you thinking world domination in terms of, hey, let's put world title right on top of that in a couple weeks at Smuggler's Notch?
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, this is all hypothetical, of course, because
of course,
as much as I would love to be super confident that I can win worlds, it's not that crazy because the other guys are just so freaking good. But we'll see. We'll see. And I could be European champion. Then I could win Worlds. The week after Worlds, I'm playing the Canadian Championships, which I can also win because I have a Canadian passport.
Right.
And then is USDGC. But at the same weekend as USDGC is the German Championships. So if I win, I won Europeans, I could win Worlds, win Canadians, and then I would have to decide if I could go safe and win Germans, or if I would try and win the U.S. Championships, and then I could be like a quadruple champion.
I mean, I feel like they just gave you that five-year visa. You gotta stay for the USDGC, right?
But I'm like the only player that could even ever do that.
That's true. That'd be pretty amazing.
I believe in you.
I guess at that point I should end my career when I'm like champion of Europe, the world, the U.S. and Canada.
That'd be pretty amazing. Just go out on top.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's complete fun though. It's just my thoughts. I like to have.
That's good. You got to have something to aim for, right? You got to aim high.
Exactly.
All right, Simon, before we let you go, I'm going to hit you with our lightning round questions. These are just like quick questions. I want you to give me the first thing that pops in your head. Does that sound good?
Oh my God, it sounds like I'm going to be terrible at this.
It sounds like you're ready. Okay. First one, favorite course on tour?
What favorite course on tour? Beaver State Fling.
All right. Most difficult course on tour?
USDGC.
Ooh, all right. Best food on tour?
What's it called? God damn it. What's it called? The chicken finger place
Chick-fil-A?
In the South.
Your Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A? Or Raising Cane's?
Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's. How's their sauce compare? I know you're a big fan of the Chick-fil-A sauce. Is their sauce good too?
It's a different kind of amazing.
I've never even heard of that place.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. Okay.
We've got a couple out in California now. They're starting to expand.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to have to go check it out. All right. If you could, your favorite sport to either play or watch besides disc golf?
Darts.
Darts. Okay. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I would fly. That was really boring. Sorry.
That's okay. That's the one I would pick too. Who doesn't want to fly? Yeah. All right, what would you be doing in life if you weren't a professional disc golfer?
Probably professional dart player.
You're that good?
Yes.
I like the confidence. All right, one person, living or dead, that you would like to have dinner with?
Megan Fox.
Oh, wow. All right.
Hope your girlfriend's not listening.
You're stuck on a desert island. What's one album that you have to have that you would only be able to listen to ever again?
Best of Queen.
Oh, that's a great one. And nice. Last one, close it out. Cats or dogs?
Oh my God, neither.
Neither.
But you have two cats.
Yeah, not my choice.
Is there another animal you would like to slot into the mix?
Axolotls.
Excuse me?
Axolotls is an underwater salamander.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey,
we have three of them.
That's pretty cool.
We might need to include a picture of that on the podcast post.
We'll have to do that. All right. Well, hey,
it's a really cool animal, actually. Yes.
Cool.
Thank you for taking time to join us again. Congratulations on the European title. Good luck at Maple Hill this weekend, and we'll see you in a few weeks at Worlds.
Can't wait. Thanks so much.
All right. That was Simon Lazat, and we'll be back here in just a moment on PGA Radio.
And we're back. That was so much fun talking to Simon. I feel like I learned a lot of new things during that conversation. Notably, the salamander. I'm not even going to attempt.
I'm not going to try to pronounce the name again.
Pronounce the name, but we have seen a video, and it is real, and it is cute.
Yeah.
So
Simon passed along a video, and I feel like they look like tiny dragons.
Yeah.
He spelled the name of them. It's Axolotl.
It's going to be the name of my next dog.
If you want to look it up. Axolotl?
That sounds about right. Yeah. Axolotl.
Sure. You got to name him Axl Rose. Anyway, yeah. Thank you to Simon. long been one of my favorite, if not my favorite, interviews.
I can see why.
He's very, very engaging, and, you know, he'll always just kind of tell it like it is, which is great. So,
super honest.
He gave us a little bit of insight into, you know, Maple Hill, low home course advantage. Maybe that'll play into our picks. We'll see. But we do need to talk about the MVP Open, formerly the Vibram Open. It is taking place this weekend, Friday through Sunday. It's the last event on the Disc Golf Pro Tour before their tour championship in October, like 2 months from now. So they take a long break after this with all the other plethora of events going on. So, Sarah, what do we got on the FPO side? Because they do have the different, you know, shorter tees and things like that. What do you got for us on the course layout there?
Yeah, so the women's layout is about 7,200 feet, par 61. This course on camera just looks beautiful to me, and I know there's a lot of those wooded holes that some people may call luck holes, but it's one of those courses that I watch on camera and I'm just like, man, I just want to get out there and throw these lines.
Oh, it's
and
iconic.
See.
Yeah, this is one of the most iconic spots in disc golf. I know what you're talking about. Like, is it hole five? No, six. Hole five is that one over the pond that Barsby aced last year. So like hole six, seven, you get in there, it gets a bit dicey.
Yeah, yeah.
Eight,
sure.
I think, goes back over a pond. Yeah, it's a super fun event. I'm really excited for it. Defending champion is Paige Pierce. She has won it four times in a row. And last year, like in a crazy comeback, Val Jenkins was up by six. The weather was poor in the final round. Paige played super clean and ended up taking the win. So,
yeah, I just rewatched the men's final round this morning, and the weather was disgusting.
Yeah, like, it was gross.
And they were all making – it was the Jomez big sexy commentary, and they were just laughing about, like, yeah, Ricky just gets up there and just throws immediately as he
plays,
like,
they were like,
Jomez didn't even, like, cut between the last person throwing and him because it was so fast, and he kept his hood up, which I thought was hilarious.
It's Raincoat Ricky. that's his, like, alter ego. It's Raincoat Ricky, and he loves that weather. I'm really curious if we're going to shift to the MPO side a little bit. They take on an 8,500-foot track, par 59. Like, Sarah, as much as we want to get into, like, who's going to win and who's playing, like, it's the usual suspects. It's this golf pro tour. You're going to have the big people there. And I'm not trying to look too far into the future or overlook the MVP Open. It's going to be rad. And, you know, before we get into the big conversation, I want to highlight that, you know, it's going to be on Smashbox Friday through Sunday. It'll be on the Disc Golf Pro Tour YouTube channel via Smashbox. Jomez, Central Coast will be there. And then I think they're going to have a couple other companies. I heard Parsave Productions and Tee Time Disc Golf are going to be there later. I don't think they're going to have next day video, but if you're a film junkie, the Pro Tour has been putting out more video lately, which is great. So with that out of the way, the thing I really want to talk about is how important this event to me personally is for momentum going into Worlds. Like, you want to be playing at your peak right now, and there's going to be people who go from this event, and then they're going to go up to Nantucket and play, like, the B tier up there, which is super chill, and Eric Oakley and Tina Snice are getting married at, which is very cool. But really, in terms of top level competition, this is the event I think where you want to see people hitting their stride. Like, if you're Ricky Wysocki coming into this one, you want to win it, obviously, to show that, hey, you can defend your title from here, and that you can go in and defend your world championships. I mean, how important to you, Sarah, as a player, is this idea of momentum and putting together a good performance this week so that it can lead into something positive at Worlds?
I think it all just feeds into confidence, at least for me. And we've talked about this. I'm more of a weekend warrior, and I get out and play maybe two events per month. So I'm not, like, leaving one event that I've won and traveling to the next place and just have this air of confidence about me that I can bring into the next event. So me personally is a little bit different, I feel like, but I can't imagine just what that kind of confidence level can bring you on the course, especially going into this event and a big event like Worlds. So, I mean, it's got to help. It really just depends on the state of your mental game, I feel like.
Right. If you tank it here, can you put that aside going into Worlds?
But just the opposite too. If you play out of your mind at this event,
do you go overconfident?
Yeah, are you going in and you're like, well, I'm just, well, I don't think anyone's going in is just like, oh, I'm just gonna like run in and grab a world title real fast, because the division and how stacked it is will not lend well to that. But I don't know, maybe when you get overconfident and you start doing things that you normally wouldn't, just as far as mental game on the course, like taking shots for granted, and then messing them up, things like that, just mental mistakes. So I don't know. I think it really just depends on mental fortitude.
Yeah.
There's a few players that we've talked about that have really gotten into a good groove with that. I think Eagle is a great example of that. So I don't want to go into the picks just yet, but
no picks yet. We got more to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, this conversation doesn't just stand for the MPO side as well. I mean, you look at the FPO side. Paige Pierce comes off of a rough showing at Ledgestone, where I think she came in fifth, which for her is rough. You know, so there's part of that. Like, can she come and get the groove back? Or, I mean, she's had this kind of like second half of the season that she hasn't been as on her game. Her putting's been kind of a struggle. You know, so there's this kind of weird parody almost on both sides of the ball. Like, you know, Riki Wasaki and Paul McBeth, neither of them won Ledgestone. You know, you had Nate Sexton playing really well. We go back to Eagle. He hasn't even played since Connor Peace Day. So, like, is that good? Or is he going to come out to Maple Hill and be rusty? Like, I wonder about that as well, if the long time off did him some good. Or if we're going to see him struggle a little bit getting back into his game. But the thing I really want to highlight about Eagle is how he played this event last year. He kind of had a chance to tie Wasaki in the last round, like in his hands, heading to hole 18. He was a couple, you know, cards ahead on the course, but he was coming back, had a chance to tie, I believe, totally shanked his upshot and it went OB on 18. I mean, Eagle will tell you it was bad. It was uncharacteristic for his normal shots, but it played into this whole thing last year that he really was struggling with his mental game in those bigger positions. And I went back and looked up a quote that Eagle gave me last year after Maple Hill, because he was very, like, he was very upfront about confronting how much he struggled there. And so this is Eagle McMahon 2017 after the Vibram Open. He says, just putting myself in that position, I crumble under pressure for some reason. I get into my head so bad just because I've been there. I've put myself in striking distance in 5+ events over the last year, to where if I were able to capitalize, I would have had a good chance of winning any one of those events. So to be in that position again, it obviously got in my head, and my last shot on 18, if I get my upshot on the green, I tie with the winning score. I would have put pressure on Riki to run the island. Flash forward to 2018, and we've got Eagle McMahon with, you know, Beaver State, GBO, Las Vegas, and Connor Peace Day victories.
Yep.
So we've got like a complete 180 from Eagle McMahon. I wonder how that plays into him going into Maple Hill. I think he's going to come in feeling confident that he can kind of get over those hurdles. So I don't know. Just there, and there's so much. I mean, I feel like this year has been really hard to predict because of how well Eagle has done. You know, it's not just Riki and Paul every weekend. And then even at other events, we've seen players like Kevin Jones emerge. We had AJ Risley just last week. You know, there's always players like James Conrad up on lead cards, Nate Sexton playing out of his mind last week at Ledgestone. And those are just the more recent ones. I just feel like, and it's exciting to me, I feel like as we go into Worlds, it's honestly, they're like the shoe-in favorites, if you will. But I really feel like it's almost anyone's ballgame at this point, because there's so many more events now and so many people playing at such a high level. It does make it exciting, but also difficult for us to make our picks.
Yeah.
So maybe we should make our picks now for MVP Open.
I think we should. I'm ready.
Okay, good, because you get to go first.
I know. All right, here we go. So speaking of Eagle, I'm taking Eagle for the win.
And
I already had that. I've got a little sheet in front of me, and it was already written down. It wasn't because of our conversation. But who do you have?
I don't know now, because I had Eagle. So Which, I mean, I think that's awesome because I think we were both, I was thinking, you weren't thinking the redemption angle. I think you were just thinking because Eagles beast this year. I was definitely thinking of the redemption angle. Like, I kind of want your pick to win because I want to see him come in and, like, put another one to rest there.
Yeah. And
he doesn't know.
He doesn't have, he doesn't have a disc golf pro tour win yet.
No, so I think he's coming second place a couple times.
He's got second place three times.
I'd be feeling a little bit better about picking Ricky if he had won this like A tier last weekend, the Vacation Land Open, which I guess we forgot to do the hot rounds. We'll do that after our picks. That was up in Maine. He came in third place there. And I know if you're Ricky Wysocki, it's a little probably hard. I feel like Ricky Wysocki is probably at the point in his career where it's a little harder to get it up for these, for the not as big name events. So maybe that plays into it. I don't know. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home field advantage, as we talked about with the interview, and I'm going to take Simon Lazat because he should know that course now like the back of his hand. He comes in putting hot out of Croatia. Good vibes, gets to go home and sleep in his own bed at night. That's worked a lot to me, so I'm going to take Simon.
Okay. I like it. All right, so switching over to FPO. I mean, normally I would be saying Paige Pierce without a question because she's won the past 4 years, as we said. But there's her, the last part of her year has just been kind of a roller coaster, and like we talked about, her putting has left a lot to be desired. But with all that said, I still have faith that she can pull together. And I mean, we talk about momentum through the season, but I feel like there may also be momentum and confidence. I feel like there could also be confidence around knowing that this is where she has won four times and, you know, like step off my turf. I got this again.
Yeah.
And that could also go both ways. Like we said, like she knows that she's the reigning champion and that gets into her head and she takes it for granted. And I don't know. With all that said, I'm going to go Paige.
I was going to say, man, that was a lot. That was a lot.
I know. It went, a lot of thought went into it, though.
That's okay. That's good that we think about these things. It's not just throwing darts, even though sometimes it kind of feels like it is.
Well, I'm not as good at darts as Simon is, so. I've seen him play. We were actually playing darts side by side at Worlds. God, that feels like so long ago.
It does. I was just having this conversation with someone else at Worlds last year. I mean, it did happen in June last year.
I know, but I can't. Whenever I think about Worlds last year, I was like, where was it again? Because I can't, it just seems like a decade ago. But yeah, right. So in Augusta, I watched him play darts and he was very good. So I will confirm.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm really struggling here because obviously Paige has won it four times in a row. Val Jenkins, who came in second last year, isn't playing. So now I'm kind of scrambling to do some research and see who I want to take as my pick. I was trending toward Jessica Weiss, but she hasn't traditionally fared well at this event. Second place a couple times has been Katrina Allen. Katrina Allen just won the Vacation Land Open A tier this weekend up in Maine, so we're going to go with Katrina Allen.
I did some research on her. So last year, all right, so these are her finishes starting from last year going back. She finished third, second, 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 third.
Time to get over that hump,
Kat. So she wants that win.
She's going to do it.
Yeah. So at least she's, you know, she's good for top five. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Speaking of top five, who do you want in MPO for top five? I
got
to get back to my player list now. I'm all over the place.
I know. All right. So we went Eagle and Simon. So I'm going to go Ricky.
Oh, that was hard.
Yeah. I mean, he's won twice.
Yeah.
Sorry, not
sorry. That's a good one. All right. I'm at the point in the season where I'm tired of picking the same people all the time. So Paul McBeth, I know you sometimes listen to the show. I'm not picking you for top five. I just want to pick someone else. I have a different name in there. So I'm going to go with Chris Dickerson. Dude's been consistent as all get out lately, coming off a really strong showing at Ledgestone. I think this course plays to his strengths. And I, you know, we talk about momentum. I'm not going to be surprised if we see a really strong performance from Chris Dickerson at Worlds. But before that, we're going to see a top five showing from him at the MVP Open.
I could see that. I was just looking at his rating history, and he stayed at 1036, so
he's
still super high. Yeah. All right, I like it. All right, so switching
top five,
switching over to FPO. So you mentioned Weiss.
I did.
She actually ended up tied for sixth last year, but she's been playing really well this year. She just got her her win on the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
Yep.
So I'm gonna go with her for top five.
All right.
Her
well, thank
her
you.
Momentum is there.
Thank you for leaving me with Sarah Hokum. I'll take Sarah Hokum.
So. All right. She did finish tied for eighth last year. Just saying, but
Hokum.
Yeah.
It's the weather. Hokum's got this place. She's fine.
All right.
No,
all right.
I don't know. It's hard. It's a hard. Dude, this I shouldn't be. I act so cavalier about it. Like this is one of the more demanding courses, and we get into the woods, and it's just fun. I can't wait. So, be sure to check out the coverage this weekend. Sarah and I will be gabbing about it next week here on the show.
Eating popcorn on my couch. Actually, no, I'm playing a disc golf tournament this weekend.
Oh, where
darn.
Are you playing?
Yeah, I'm playing in Johnson City, Tennessee. It's actually one of the courses that we played for U.S. Women's Nationals last year.
Right.
So Winged Deer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're playing four rounds over 2 days there, which Ooh. I think we talked about this last week. We have not the switch to either tee times or just one round a day or two rounds Saturday, one round Sunday. I have not played a traditional four round over 2 days event so far this year. So I need to hydrate starting right now. I need to switch my coffee out for some water and make sure I don't die.
Very
but that's probably
going.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to do hot rounds real quick before we close out the show. So would you like to start on the FPO side? We already mentioned it, but we got other ones to talk about.
Sure. So the hottest round was that blazing 1024 shot by Hannah Blonmers at the European Disc Golf Championships. That was her second round, and she finished first. The second hottest round was also over 1,000. It was 1021 shot by Nicole Bradley. Yeah. Like our hottest, at least on the women's side, the hottest rounds just keep getting hotter.
Yep.
Like there was a while that none of them were over 1,000, and now we've got two well over 1,000. So that's really awesome. But she played the 2018 Lady of the Lake in South Lake Tahoe, California. And that was her second round. She finished first. So congratulations, Nicole. The third hottest was a 983, Evelina Solonen at the European Disc Golf Championships. Her first round, she finished second. The fourth hottest round was Katrina Allen at the Vacation Land Open presented by G-Force Putting League. And that was her second round, and she finished first. She shot a 979. And the last was Kristen Tatar, her fourth round that she finished third at the European Disc Golf Championships, and she shot a 974.
Very nice.
So, very hot.
Yeah. We also had some very hot rounds on the men's side. A lot of them came from that same Vacation Land Open, which just sounds delightful.
I know.
I'm guessing there's got to be like some water slides or some kiddie rides or something there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. Anyway, hottest round of the weekend, 1080 by one Garrett Gerthy. It was his first round. He ended up coming in second place at the Vacation Land Open. Kale Laviska shot a 1075 rated final nine at the Cedar Creek Open in Fairmont, Minnesota to win that one. So congrats to Kale. Riki Wasaki, who we always talk about because he's very good at throwing discs, shot a 1068. That was his third round to finish in third place at the Vacation Land Open. My homie Kevin Jones, 1068 rated also. That was his second round, and he won that one. That's his second A-tier win now for Kevin Jones, right?
Nice. Okay,
two of them? Yes.
You're keeping way better tabs on him than I am, so.
I know. That's because, I will say this. Someone on Reddit was like asking for hot takes in terms of, you know, like things, crazy things you're going to think are happen. So I put it out there. Kevin Jones, 2018 USDGC champion.
Ooh.
Or US disc golf champion, because USDGC champion is redundant, but
I can see it.
I could see it happening. Like you look, it doesn't take Will Schustrick has proven that it does not take age and experience to win USDGC.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. So, anyway, we're off of the hot rounds, but I am also looking to double check and make sure that was the second A tier win. He didn't sneak another one in there. Yeah, it was the second. So congrats to Kevin on that. Back over in Europe, Simon Lazat's 1063 rated second round was good for his win at the European Disc Golf Championships. There was one hole, it was a that was like a 990 foot par five. He eagled it three out of four rounds there because
oh my gosh.
He does bananas things. And finally, Sepapayu, during his second place run at the European Disc Golf Championships, shot a 1062 rated opening round. So congrats to everyone on the hot rounds for the week. Sarah, before we go, speaking of Reddit, I saw this over on Reddit and I thought it would make for kind of a fun discussion. There is an event coming up in Joliet. Is that how you say it?
I think so. Joliet. Yeah. All right. It's like Juliet with an O.
Well, right, but I wasn't sure if the T was silent because it's in Illinois where the S is silent, right? So I wasn't sure. They just like their silent letters. Anyway, Joliet, possibly. Illinois, they're having an event at the Illinois State Penitentiary at the old Joliet prison called Imparcerated, which kudos to whoever came up with the event name for that pun. That's great. And yeah, basically, it's an 18-hole tournament being played inside an old prison and on the grounds of an old prison. How cool is that?
I would be, if I lived closer, I would be all over this because I am into super creepy things like this.
I mean that could be, I guess there is some super creepy, like, I guess it just depends on what really went on in that prison, which,
well, none of it could be good.
Full disclosure, we didn't do any research. But I mean, that's,
it's just a cool location. Like, when are you ever going to be able to play? I mean, A, it's cool to play like in an enclosed area or building. Like, we've got all those events in stadiums now, and I've played one, which is really cool. But just being able to play in a location where it's usually off limits just makes you feel like, ooh, I'm doing something wrong. And you're in a prison, so.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, I like literally as we're talking here, I remember I saw another one. They're also going to have disc golf. They're setting up a disc golf course at Burning Man.
Really?
Week, which is amazing. And I'm hoping to interview the guy who's setting up the course for the show next week. So
awesome.
Tune in. Hopefully we will be talking about disc golf at Burning Man next week. But it kind of got me wondering, Sarah, have you thought, like, give me your most like crazy random place that you think would be cool for a disc golf tournament, whether it's just a little pop-up one-off event or a permanent thing. Like, because I feel like disc golfers always do that. Like, I know I drive around, I see plots of land and trees, and I'm like, oh, that would make for a great disc golf course. Let's see if we can get one in there.
Yeah.
But there's always cool, like, buildings and old facilities and stuff like that that would be neat, too. So where would you like to have the most random disc golf course you can think of?
Probably on a defunct... in a defunct amusement park.
Oh, yes.
Maybe glow golf style if I didn't care about my discs, because I played an event, I don't know, I think it was a couple years ago, and it was at a college campus, and so you're throwing down, you're throwing into the quad, and there's concrete everywhere and buildings, and you're hitting all sorts of things.
It's super fun. We have a course here at Cal State San Marcos that, like,
oh, nice,
four or five holes play through the university. There's one that, like, people safari off the parking garage and things like that.
Yeah, that's what we were doing too. Like, we threw, one hole was thrown from the parking garage onto a little landing area to the stadium, which was really cool. But my discs hated me afterward, and I actually had to retire a few of them because they're just so,
oh, wow,
so beat up. Yeah. But an amusement park, I feel like, maybe not even defunct. Maybe if someone was really rich and could just close down the park for a day. And you had to do things like, you know, you're on the roller coaster and had to throw a shot.
Oh, my gosh.
As like a CTP or something at the same time. Or on a Ferris wheel. Yeah.
I don't even want to come up with one now. Like, I'm actually, that's great. I'm actually really disappointed in myself because I love amusement parks and roller coasters and things like that. I just found this podcast recently called Defunct Land. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's literally, it's an entire podcast about old defunct amusement parks.
Ooh.
And it's super cool. It's on YouTube. You should try and find it. It's called Defunct Land.
Okay.
And well, really they go into like details on like certain rides and why they aren't existing anymore. It's just really neat.
Yeah. Well, to throw another layer, because I like creepy things, like, what if it was a haunted amusement park and there were like creepy clowns?
Now we're getting into like
like chasing you around
territory
as you threw.
So what you need them to set up a disc golf course at like one of these like Halloween haunt things that they do,
yes,
like at Knott's Berry Farm or places like that.
Yes,
where
exactly.
they turn their nighttime into, or like Universal Studios. Man, I'm not even gonna come up with one.
Did you have any ideas?
I mean, I was thinking, I actually think like the Mall of America would be kind of cool.
Oh yeah.
Because you're indoors, it's huge, there's a bunch of random stuff there.
There's an amusement
There's
park. So
a
perfect.
roller
We could
coaster in there.
meld our ideas together
I would
and
love,
just
I
throw
think.
some creepy clowns in. We're good to
Well,
go.
and then like, it's freezing cold half the year up in Minnesota. Like, go throw some disc golf indoors.
Yeah.
So that was going to
I
be
like it.
mine, but I
Well,
think
that's
I
a good
can come
one.
up with a better one. I'm going to try and come up with something before next week for
Okay.
next week's show. And hopefully we'll be talking about Burning Man.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It's out there, man. So, all right. Well, hey, before we go, Sarah, we need to remind people to go throw with your non-dominant hand for our PGA Rio Challenge this month. The people are slacking, including Sarah and I, but
I know.
we still have time, so we can get them up there. And I
I'm
think
doing
it's
it tomorrow. It is
you're
on
doing
my
it
to-do
tomorrow.
list. If I put something on my to-do list, it will get done. So.
It's not on my to-do list, but maybe I should put it on there.
All right.
It's gonna be
Well,
ugly.
me, myself, and I'm hoping I can talk my friend into doing it as well. So hopefully we'll have two new videos up.
You should get Sean to do it, and I'm pretty sure he'd probably still be better than a lot of people.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He can throw lefty
I'm
like
sure he
with
can.
no
It
problem.
won't even
Yeah.
look like he's doing it. Never mind. Don't
No,
have him do
not at
it.
all.
He's gonna make it look too. He's gonna make it look too good.
Yeah.
All right. So until next week, Sarah, good luck at your tournament this weekend. Everybody else out there, enjoy the coverage from the MVP Open, and we'll be back next week. Give us your feedback. Radio@pdga.com. Be sure to subscribe on all of the fun podcasting apps. And we will see you next time. For Sarah Lamberson, I'm Steve Hill. That was PDGA Radio. Talk to you soon.